It's time for a new episode of Hold the Mic with Jenna and Lexi.
Hold the mic.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Hold the Mic. It's Jenna
and Lexi, and we're back with another episode. We're going to go ahead and jump right into our segments. So for our game of the week, obviously, there's a big game coming up on Sunday, February 13th, the Super Bowl. The Los Angeles Rams are playing the Cincinnati Bengals at SoFi Stadium in L.A. I think this will be a really interesting game. We have two very different teams. The Bengals went from the worst team in the NFL to making the Super Bowl in just 2 years. And their key players include, obviously, quarterback Joe Burrow and wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. And the Rams, on the other hand, made the Super Bowl in 2019 but lost to the New England Patriots. Their key players include quarterback Matthew Stafford and wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. This game will obviously be over by the time this episode comes out, but I'm not exactly sure who I'm rooting for yet this weekend.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I have no clue. I keep going back and forth.
Okay. I don't really, care.
Yeah.
They're not my teams.
Yeah.
I want to see Joe Burrow.
But I also really like Matthew Stafford.
I do too. His wife's super cute.
And his story and everything.
But Joe Burrow, in the sense of like, did you see he could like totally break a record in the sense of like winning Heisman, winning a national championship, and then winning the Super Bowl in 3 years? I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think so too. So we'll see. Maybe I'll decide like right before the game. But for our cheat sheet, so kind of going along with who we have for our interviews today. Soccer is called football or football around the world, except for in the U.S. and Canada and other countries where the word football is taken by another sport. And then Mia Hamm and Carly Lloyd have both won the FIFA World Player of the Year award twice while on the U.S. women's national team. Mia won in 2001 and 2002, and then Carly won in 2015 and 2016. For who's on our radar, Tom Brady recently announced his retirement. I was super sad like the entire day.
I never thought it would actually happen.
No, I thought he at least had a couple more seasons, but there were speculations about it about a week before he actually came out and announced it. But over a 22-year career, he appeared in 10 Super Bowls, in which he won seven. In his seven Super Bowls, he received MVP five times. Brady had an amazing career. Whether you loved him or hated him, I feel like you just had to respect him.
Had to, yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to retire. I think there's a possibility that he may come back or come back to at least coach, but he does have his TB12 sports line and then his apparel line, Brady Brand, too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's going to be, and he has a family and everything, so I think he's going to be keeping busy for a little bit.
I totally agree. I just, like, have never known the NFL without Tom Brady. That's why I think it's so weird to me.
Yeah, because he was drafted the year I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up watching him on the Patriots. And it's, like, so weird that he's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I just find it so strange. Like, it was almost, like, fake news, I guess, when I saw it. I was like, ah, that's totally a lie. Like, whatever. But
and then he actually came out. So we'll see.
We'll see. It's interesting, but yeah. This episode of Hold the Mic is brought to you by Chillo. Are you having trouble finding a roommate?
Or looking for a new place that's actually within your budget? We know there's a lot of headache that surrounds housing, and Chillo is here to help.
Chillo is an app that makes it easier than ever to find a rental and a roommate all in one place. Whether you're a renter or landlord, be sure to check out the Chillo app in the Apple App Store today.
And for a limited time, Chillo will be donating $1 to every app downloaded to a local nonprofit dedicated to ending homelessness in Idaho. So what are you waiting for? Download the Chillo app today.
Let's just jump right into this episode. So we have two very exciting guests today, two of which are some of my friends, and I just think it's so exciting that they're here. We're so pumped, but we are introducing Morgan and Genevieve onto Hold the Mic this week. They both are Boise State women's soccer players here, and let's just get right in. So do you want to just introduce yourselves?
Yeah. I'm Genevieve Crenshaw. I'm a sophomore from Southern California, and I'm a goalkeeper on the Boise State women's soccer team.
Yeah, and I'm Morgan Stone. I'm from Boulder, Colorado. I'm a junior, and I play in the midfield for Boise State soccer.
So exciting. I'm so pumped to have you guys.
It's so fun. What kind of got you guys into soccer initially?
For me, My mom put me in soccer since I was, like, I think 4 years old, so I've been doing it for a long time. And then I also swam while I was doing soccer, and I kind of had to pick which one I wanted, and I just always loved soccer so much and wanted to play in college, so that's kind of where I went and ended up in Boise.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same, but I had two older brothers, and I was like, I need to play sports, like, they're playing sports. So I played soccer since I was three, and then as I was growing up, I just kept playing a bunch of different sports, and I was like, soccer seems to be the one I'm best at, like, we're just going to stick with that.
I love that. Yeah. That is so fun. I love it. How did you guys get to Boise State, by the way?
For me, it was kind of like a weird, like, I'd never expected to come here. I was getting a lot of recruitment out of high school, and I was actually looking, my second choice was University of Florida, which is like,
whoa, yeah, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, way on the other side of the country, completely different SEC school. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get an email from my coach now that said he had watched me play. He was like, please come out on a visit. We're really interested. And I, like, didn't even know, like, where Boise State was. I was like, what is Idaho? And convinced me to come out on a visit, and I just absolutely loved it. I just fell in love, and with the coaches, with the city, with everything. And so I decided to commit here.
Yeah, honestly, kind of the same story. I was, like, looking to stay more, like, West Coast.
Okay.
And so I was at one of our games, and our games were so intimidating. You would have, like, sometimes, like, 60 college coaches just lined up on the sideline. That's you would insane. Be on the other side. Oh, they'd just gosh. Be sitting there staring at
that's
you.
That's, like, SoCal sports for you, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
most
so
definitely.
Crazy.
And so someone walked up to me after my game, one of our managers, and he's like, oh, like, the Boise State coach circled your name. And I go, what's that? And my dad goes, don't you know it's the Smurf turf? And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And so then they came out to a few of my games. I started talking to one of the coaches that isn't here anymore. But, and then so I decided to commit after a visit just because, like, coming here, it's such a good vibe. Like, the city is great. And I think overall, Boise's just great. Like, until you come here, you really don't know.
Totally. Yeah. I know. Everyone in high school was like, isn't it just potatoes? And I'm like, oh my. Actually, no. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah.
But it totally has this, like, perception or even, like, not knowing where Boise is.
No, exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah. Genevieve, what other schools were you looking at?
I was looking at Cal State Fullerton, actually, which is right down my current the street from my current house.
Okay.
And then I was looking at Utah, a lot of just, like, Mountain West schools as well, like UNLV.
Okay.
So a lot of the West Coast.
Nice.
What
I like it.
Is kind of the recruiting process for soccer? Because there's obviously high school and then there's club. And I've heard, like, you can get recruited through both. But what kind of is that process?
I think it's actually changed a lot. So they've changed a lot of the recruiting guidelines. Mm-hmm. So when we were getting recruited, I know my first contact with coaches was, like, eighth grade freshman year, which is super early.
Wow, yeah. Crazy.
And most of mine came from club.
Okay.
But I think have they pushed it back to junior year now?
Yeah, they've, like, put on some restrictions because people were committing, like, eighth grade. And
yes,
it's like, how can you know where you want to go when you're an eighth grader?
Yeah.
So I think they did push it back. Like, your coach could communicate to their coach, but you couldn't have direct contact.
Right, until junior year.
Until junior year.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I think soccer more so is a club recruiting. Mm-hmm. I actually, like, skipped my sophomore year of high school. Like, I just didn't play that season, and I stayed and played club all year round.
Yeah.
And we would go and travel and go to different showcases and tournaments so that you can get, like, that exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely more so recruited at a club.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like high school is more of a choice. Like, you're like, oh, if you want to, like, play with, like, some of your high school friends. But a lot of times, like, for me, at least, it wasn't as competitive.
It's definitely a lower level of soccer.
So do girls typically pick doing club over high school then?
Definitely.
Yeah, like, from what I've seen.
And, like, I feel like when you play Division I soccer, you usually had to, like, travel somewhat to go to play club. Like, I would have to travel. And so the high schools were just mixed up of, like non-competitive players, so you were, like, almost everybody on our team, I'm sure everybody was, like, the best player on their high school team just because it was so much less competitive.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I was pretty grateful to be, like, be in SoCal and, like, be surrounded by so many teams that were, like, in our conference for club.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, you still have those girls that are, like, playing on our teams that are from, like, Vegas, and it's, like, okay, like.
No, that's totally, yeah, like, true. That's so accurate. Like, so many people do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we'll travel all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a girl on our team that actually, Dorian Goodwin, played on Abby Bivens' club team, and they were 2 years older than me. So, like, wow. Dorian showed up to a practice once.
And Dorian's from, like, Vegas, yeah, originally, and Abby's from SoCal, so yeah, she, like, literally her senior year of high school just went to California.
She just moved. She, yeah, used to just come for the weekends and play on the at the games. Oh my she gosh. Showed up to practice one, mm-hmm, weekend. My coach looks at her and goes, "Why are you here?" She goes, "Oh, I moved here."
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was so funny.
Because SoCal is kind of, like, the place to be also for soccer. That's a big, like, hub.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's, like, bigger, like, Denver's a pretty big one. There's a, yeah, lot of girls that I know that got recruited. But
would you go there?
To
Denver?
Like the University of Denver?
Like to play soccer.
Oh, yes.
Like for club.
We would travel like a lot. Okay. And yeah. And all the girls, Real, there's a soccer club called Real. That's, yeah, where they looked to do a lot of recruiting. So I know a lot of girls out of that club that has gone to like a lot of big schools as well.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Mm-hmm.
What's the big club in like California?
I would say SoCal Blues. They, okay, would win every single year. Gotcha. And, of course, they were in our conference. Yeah. And I was always like, okay. Like, they have a few girls. One of them actually got drafted to the NWSL.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
She chose not to go to college, and she went straight to the NWSL. And she's now on the largest contract.
It's Trinity Rodman, right?
Trinity Rodman. Yeah. And then Raylan Turner.
She just got put on a big contract.
Yeah. Raylan Turner is the first ever student athlete to be sponsored by Nike. She's at UCLA, and they both, wow, played for Blues at my year. So I was like, super cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So funny. What club are you on?
It's called Strikers. It was a smaller
I've
club.
I've heard of it, yeah.
But, like, I think we're kind of, it's, like, kind of dwindling down. It's not as, like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's not as prevalent now, but. Yeah,
have you always played your positions?
No.
Really? I have.
She's, yeah, I mean, you're a goalie.
I'm not
giving
any, like,
yeah,
specific positions, yeah, so.
Yeah, you kind of have a little specialty.
No, yeah.
I was recruited. They saw me as, like, a defender center back.
Okay.
That's what he saw me, but he kind of had this idea in mind that he wanted to switch me over to a midfielder. And then my freshman year, I was, like, all I wanted to do was get on the field. That was, like, my number one goal because
totally.
It's so hard to play as a freshman.
Yeah.
And the
one, like, I'll do anything.
Yeah, I was, like, I'll do literally anything. Tell me what to do. And so he needed an outside back, which is – I've never played in my life. It's a very different position. So freshman year, I actually was the starting right back, which was really weird. And then we converted me into the midfield, and I've been there since,
nice,
which is where I'm way more comfortable.
You like it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool. And you've always been a goalkeeper.
I mean, unless we count when I was, like, really little.
Right.
Like, until, like, the age of 8, me and my friend would switch off. But, yeah, no, I've always been a goalkeeper.
I love that.
I love that. That's so funny.
If you could go back and choose one other sport to play besides soccer, what would it be?
I mean, for me, like, I was really big into swimming. Yeah. Growing up, that was, like, my thing. That's the first thing that I did. And everybody expected me to kind of go that route. Mm-hmm. But I was, like, swimming to me is a little boring. Like, I'm more of like a social person and like a team sport kind of person, but yeah. I loved it. It was really always fun to be around the pool and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I played volleyball from like fifth year,
okay,
fifth grade to senior year of high,
wow,
school.
Oh, wow.
So like, I definitely, if I would have put more time into that, I think I would have chosen volleyball.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. I like it. So you are in your off season right now.
Yes.
How has that been going so far? What does that look like for you guys?
So our off season, the first month is we're in 8-hour weeks. So they really limit the amount of time that we can do. And then actually starting next week, we go into 20 hours, which ramps up a bit. We kind of work a lot on like the fine details that we don't have time for in the season because we're playing so many games.
Right.
And then there's the inevitable conditioning that we do that it's everybody's favorite. So they do a lot of conditioning for us at the more so than we've ever done actually this year. So does get pretty tough.
Yeah, we ramped up the conditioning very quickly this year. Not even going to lie.
No wasting time. Yes.
No wasting time.
No.
We're all like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's been a little difficult, but we're doing well. Our lifts are a lot harder in the off season because they're trying to build our muscle more. So
yeah,
we've got conditioning practice and lifts going right now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So this off season, Morgan,
You went to Spain.
I did.
What was that all about?
Oh my gosh. So fun fact about me, I was raised abroad. I grew up in Saudi Arabia.
Wow. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So cool. I spent 12, 13 years of my life overseas. And while I was there, like, traveling was just a big part of my family's, like, life. I've been to so many different countries. And since I've been back to the States, I've obviously been more focused on school and my sport. And especially with COVID, I had, like, two different international trips canceled because of it. I was so bummed. And study abroad was just something that I thought I couldn't do because I was an athlete and I couldn't miss that much soccer. I would be just, like, behind. And I did some research into it, and they had kind of, like, a condensed little, like, study abroad. It was, like, I think a month long. You take one class, and you get to go wherever you want. And so I chose Spain because I've been studying Spanish. I'm fluent in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to practice my Spanish while I was there and then also study it. I was taking, like, a Spanish composition class where we actually, like, read a book in Spanish. And
oh, my gosh. Yes. This is so cool.
Yeah, and it was, like, the perfect time because it was, like, right when our off season was. It was, like, I was there from, like, Christmas until, like, January, end of January.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah. That is so cool. Did you love it?
Oh, my gosh. It was, like, it was the best experience, like, just being there on your own. And, like, I met so many cool people, like, experienced so many really cool things. Like, I was there for New Year's, which was, like, the best.
Wow.
Like, celebrating
New
Year's in a different country. Yeah. And I actually, while I was there, my, like, goal, I was, like, I just want to play soccer here because it's, like, so huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's huge there. So I met a couple of people and I went and I played in a pickup game and I was the only girl there and they were all like so shocked. They're like, girls know how to play soccer? What? Like, and I was like, yeah. And I was actually like doing better than some of them. I was like, you know, like, they were very shocked. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Where in Spain did you go?
So I was living in Alicante, which is on the southeast coast. Okay. So we were right on the beach, which was so nice.
That's so cool.
But obviously in Europe, like, there's train systems and everything. So I was able to go to, like, Madrid and Valencia and see all those cool cities as well and just experience the culture and everything.
That did you get so to see cool. any of, like, the soccer stadiums over there?
I did. I went to a La Liga, like, the big league in Spain. I went to one of their games.
No way.
It was, like, Elche and Granada. And Elche had just played Barcelona the week before and I missed it.
What?
I was so
sad.
I was so sad. But I went to one of their games and it's, like, another world over there.
Oh,
like,
sure.
The fans are insane. I think it's, like, equivalent to, like, some of the diehard, like, American football fans in the U.S.
100%.
But, yeah, they were very emotionally, like, invested in the game.
That's so crazy. Mm-hmm. So,
that's so cool.
Just to clarify really quick, were you born here in the States?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
I was born in Australia.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah, so my parents were living in Saudi Arabia when my mom was pregnant with me. Yeah. But Saudi Arabia being the country that it is, she didn't want to have, she wanted just a very safe pregnancy and delivery. And so they had lived in Australia before. That's where my older sister was born. So they just went back there to have me. And then I was basically taken back to Saudi Arabia when I was, like, a month old and was there for until I was 13.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Do you have dual citizenship at all, or are you?
The way it works, I, like, have easy access into Australia, but I don't have my, like, Australian passport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Legit.
Yeah.
You just go to Australia whenever
whenever you want.
It's fine.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That is so interesting. So Mountain West Championship happened here in Boise.
It did, yes.
Right before the off season.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I have a question. The past, like, 2 years have been here in Boise, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is that? Like, that is so cool. I mean, to me, like, it's literally your home, like, stadium or home, like, turf and everything.
Yeah. It's based on whoever wins the regular season the year before.
Okay. Okay.
So in 2019, Jen, you weren't on the team?
No.
So it was my freshman year in 2019. They had won the year before, so we got to host it.
Okay.
And that's obviously, like, a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously, yeah.
And then because of COVID happening, they just honored that we had won it in 2019.
Gosh, that's so nice.
So they did it in 2021 for us, and we got to host it again.
Yeah.
Because there was no tournament in 2020.
No.
No tournament, okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It's really cool, though. I mean, the fact that, like, you guys did get to host it here, because, like, I know a bunch of people got to go. I went to one of your games. I went to your San Diego State game.
Oh, yeah.
That one got a little rowdy.
Oh,
God.
Oh, that's the one we were in both the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one was crazy. Because you guys came in as number 6 seed, right?
We barely made it.
We were like, okay, they need to do that. I think we were only like 4 teams to do certain things. And like all
this team
out.
Needed to lose. This team needed to tie or win.
It was crazy.
And all the things that needed to happen, happened.
Yeah.
We needed to win our last game.
We won it.
Yeah.
And so we were just sitting there waiting. We were like, oh God, like watching. Yeah. We were watching like, the games. I remember that everything had happened and me and my roommates were watching the game. Yeah. And the team that we needed to win scored in the last like 4 minutes of the game.
Oh, wow.
You're like cheering so hard.
I've never jumped up so quickly. And we got in.
So cool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we were like definitely the underdogs playing San Diego State.
Yeah.
And you made it to the final round.
We did.
You made it to the championship.
Yeah. We made it past the quarters, semis, and into the final.
That was crazy.
Seriously, you guys played New Mexico.
Yes.
It was the number 1 seed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
They did really well. They won the regular season as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good team. Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting. And then you unfortunately lost.
Yes.
But second place in the Mountain West.
And, you know, we did. That was one of our best games. And we lost in overtime, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a very good game, well-fought game, and obviously we didn't come out on top, but I think we learned so much from that game and just gives us a little bit more motivation.
Oh, yeah, especially because this coming year it's going to be at New Mexico.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of our goals are to beat them at their place.
Yes.
And we've all been, speaking it into existence. We're like, oh, we're beating them at their place.
Yes. Well, and based on, your conditioning and stuff.
Oh,
like, easy money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't think they're doing nearly as much as us. Yeah.
So is it possible that, next year it's in New Mexico, that New Mexico wouldn't make the tournament and then it would just be played on their field? Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, super awkward. I remember we weren't doing great in the season, and our coach was like, you guys are just going to have to work it. He's like,
you don't even get to be a part of it.
You have to work it.
You have to bring them, like water and stuff.
Yes.
And oh, my gosh.
That is probably one of the most embarrassing things that could happen.
That would be so embarrassing.
And so once we, made it in and we were like, okay, we're good, we're like, now we got to do well.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. We got to perform in front of our fans, in front of our city. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we did.
Exactly.
Coming in. And I mean, our semifinal game went into double overtime and was settled in PKs. So we really fought for every battle that we won. Yeah. So,
Wow, that is so crazy.
Yeah.
I know, it is really cool having it here and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just being able to be like, oh, yeah, soccer game today.
Yes.
You know, and I went and watched a couple other teams as well. And then I was watching, I told you, your San Diego State one.
Yes.
That one got a little wild.
Yeah, it did get a little crazy.
Those fans in the stands got a little.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So, Morgan, with your position, you're kind of like scoring goals sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But Genevieve, with yours, you're trying not to get scored on. How kind of is that? And how do you get, when you do get scored on, how do you just move past that?
So, honestly, it's kind of funny because I remember one of my friends is a forward. It's like, I messed up on this. And I was like, no, you didn't. No one saw it happen.
Yeah.
Because if I mess up, it's like, oh, we're down 1-0.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, dang. For me, it's just if I dwell on it, then it affects me the rest of the game. And then it'll lead to, something even worse. So I'm just like, okay, it happened. Now we just need to, now I need to trust in my team and, trust that they're going to get back into it and, kind of get us ahead again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a very mental position.
Oh, totally.
Because I'm if you let it get to you, you're kind of just done for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anything that happens, I'm always like, okay, it's fine. Next play, moving on. And it's taken me a while. I remember when I was little, my mom was like, if you cry on the field, you're getting taken off. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to cry.
No tears allowed.
Yeah, so I've just, had to get, mentally strong in that position and, be able to trust in my team and know that they're going to get it back for me and kind of, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the time you're back there kind of, you have your defenders, but you're kind of back there by yourself. So I feel like thoughts are just running through your brain constantly.
No, yeah, I'm standing back there. I'm like, what if this happens? My worst thought that I have in my head, I'm like, what if someone's about to shoot and I sneeze? Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that would happen.
The one
for
thought
sure.
that comes through my head, and I'm like, I don't know why. I always think it.
But, so, I know, yeah. Your like, eyes are closed. You're like trying to.
Or you just like trip or something. No. Like you're about to make a save and you trip on your shoelace or something. Like
that happened to me in what game was it? The UVU game. I was.
Oh, I remember. I actually watched you do that. I started laughing.
And I was like, you're kidding, because we were getting heckled the entire game, and I just happened to, like, trip and fall. And I was like, this is not a good game for me.
Oh, my God.
I remember that.
Do you ever think, like, oh, like, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? Like, you're back there for a while.
Yeah. In your own world.
Okay. I try to, like, stay, like, as tuned into the game as possible. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Sometimes when I do that, I, like, you'll hear me say certain things or, like, just, like, talk to my back line a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard when they can't hear me. Because have my coach being like, they can't hear you. And I'm like, I don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's like, we'll get it to the center backs and then they can pass it on. And I'm like, but they can't hear me either. So I'm just sitting back there yelling. And I'm like, I probably look so silly right now.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
How is kind of like, because you guys travel a ton, mm-hmm. especially like while you're in season. How is that with like classes and everything? Or just like life? Like,
we have, like, really good professors here at Boise State. And I think, like, if any of us ever have an experience where, like, a professor is, like, not as lenient with, like, some certain things, like, we'll let some of the girls know, be like, hey, like, they might not be, like, the best class to take. Like, it's not as easy to kind of get some help. But I haven't had any issues. Like, and all of our, like, academic advisors and, like, our coaches are very much in tune with what we have going on.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
They give us, like, a set itinerary and they give us time to do homework. Which is really nice, because I've heard that, like, other schools don't have as, like, set of an itinerary. Oh, and wow. I think I would be, like, super stressed about, like, timing and stuff.
Our weekends, like, we'll get set an itinerary on the Wednesday or Thursday, depending on what day we leave.
Yeah.
And it's, like, blocked out, like, we're going to have breakfast at this time, then we'll have training and whatever, whatnot. And he always puts in, like, a chunk of, like, study hall time. So it's, like, kind of fun. Nice, like, we go down to the, like, whatever meeting room in the hotel, and we all get to hang out. And, you know, we do, like, I don't know how productive it actually is sometimes.
Just
but
pretend.
Yeah. When they're not in there, we get a little rowdy. But it can be difficult when you have to take an in-person class and you just can't be there. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to work really closely with that professor and kind of, you know, I always go up the first week. I'm like, hey, like, I play for the soccer team. Like, I'm not going to be here a lot of the times. And so, but, yeah, like Jen said, you know, we have such good advisors and professors here that, like, help us out and are willing. And they're all, like, diehard Boise State fans. So they're like, yeah, go, like, go win for us.
I feel like that is what's very nice is, like, Boise State, while it's an academic school, it's very athletic based, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like everyone is so willing, which really does help. Like, I mean, we go to nationals and we miss like an entire week. And I've never had like an issue or anything. And I mean, like when it's weekly that you guys are missing, it definitely could be difficult, but it's so nice that it's not, you know?
We also like, I know a lot of us plan our schedules as much as we can, like around our, like our traveling. But I know like my roommate had a class on either a Thursday or a Friday. I think she only went to it twice during season one. And she was like, I feel so bad that I can't go.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll try to get on the Zoom, but sometimes we can't, like, if we're on a flight, if we're in the airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you'll see girls just, like, walking through the airport on their laptop, like, Keely had her laptop.
Yeah, she's like, with their Zoom out, just trying to, like, get in. It can be hard also just, like, I mean, if we leave on sometimes a Wednesday and we don't get back till late Sunday night, like the, I think like the physical mental strain of like constantly being on the road, that can like get to you. Mm-hmm. So just like making sure that you stay focused. Our coach is very like adamant on our like team GPA being like one of the best.
Totally.
So,
which is nice. It's totally like an accountability aspect.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Yes.
But it definitely could be draining for sure. Like not only as like just a student, but just as like a person and like in life, you know?
Yeah. You kind of just got to keep up with life. Like you can't let it slip out, you know?
Yeah.
But what are you guys studying, by the way?
I'm in health studies with an emphasis in science.
Okay, cool.
And then I am entrepreneurship management, and then I'm getting my minor in Spanish as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
What do you want to do with your degree?
So I've been looking at like occupational therapy.
Oh,
okay.
So I think that'd be really interesting. One of our coaches, actually, her friend reached out to me. She was like, would you like to shadow like or anything like that? Like you can come in whenever you want or like we can meet and get coffee. was like, oh, that'd be great. Yeah. And she actually works with kids, and I want to work with kids in occupational therapy. So I was like, okay, wait, this is perfect. Yeah. So I'm probably going to go into something like that.
I like it. That's cool.
Yeah. For me, I'm kind of torn. My dream since I was young was to play professional soccer. And so that's kind of what I've been focusing on since I've been here. So, you know, like, that's where all of my, like, you know, efforts go to. If, like, after that, with the entrepreneurship management degree, I'm, like, really into home flipping and, like, home renovation. Oh, and so I would love to, like, be in, like, real estate and go in and flip houses. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could even do that in different countries,
too. Yeah, literally.
I could
see
you, like, playing abroad and, like, just doing that kind of stuff. That'd be so fun
for you. That's the, like, I would love to go and play pro in, like, Spain or France or Australia's got a really good league, too. So,
Return back home.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, hand over your passport. I'll come watch you. That's so funny. Who would you guys consider to be like your role models in terms of soccer?
You go ahead.
Okay. So from a young age, my best friend's mom has always been one of my coaches, and she went to USC and played soccer there. Like, she's still in like their trophy room. Like, her name is on stuff. Like, she could have gone pro, and from a young age, she was always like one of my coaches. And, just a really good role model in an aspect of, like, she has a great job, she has a great family. Like, her as an individual, she is someone that you, like, would kind of aspire to be like. Mm-hmm. So not only in soccer was she great, she was, like, just her as a person. She's just an amazing person. She's still in my family. Like, she's still, like, part of the family today. Totally. So definitely her.
I love that.
That's cool.
For me, I've always loved Julie Ertz. I started watching her back when she was Julie Johnson before she got married.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And she does play in the midfield, and I think she doesn't always get the recognition, you know. She's not, like, doesn't score all the goals like a Carly Lloyd or an Alex Morgan, but she is just so tough, and I love watching her play. She plays my position, and I remember, like, watching her in the World Cups and, like, the Olympics, and I've just always, like, aspired to be like her.
Mm-hmm. She definitely does, like, all the behind-the-scenes kind of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and
all
I
the
feel
gritty
like,
stuff.
Yeah, I relate to that a lot in the midfield. And
oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
That's cool. Like that. I like that you said that she doesn't get, like, as much recognition. Because I feel like that's huge, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like the big names are the ones who are the ones, like, the scoring the goals and everything.
Yeah. That can be the hard thing about soccer is, like, it seems to be like a forward. Whoever's the forward, whoever's the big goal scorer is the name of the team.
Oh yeah, all the glory. Yeah.
But you don't think about like the back line or what the goalkeeper does or the So I just like that she doesn't always get that recognition, but she definitely deserves it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so cool. So if you do want to go play pro, what's kind of the draft process with that?
Yeah, so there is an NWSL draft every year. Mm-hmm. I believe they draft 33 people, which is not very many with all the college, you know.
Wow, that's not a lot at all.
No, it's very small. It's very – the NWSL is probably, like, the best league in the world. It's got, like, the top players. All the U.S. women's national team players usually come and play in the U.S. And so that process, you know – you have to usually get, like, an agent that'll help you out with that. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of, like, similar to, like, getting recruited out of college. You have to work with those different clubs and have, like, my coaches work with their coaches.
Totally.
To get seen, to show them, like, film of you. I'm currently working on with my coaches right now. This summer, hopefully, I'm going to go play for one of the pro teams, their reserve team.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that I can get on one of those teams, because then that just gives you, like, that extra exposure and thing that you need, so they actually know who you are, who is Morgan Stone, you know, who is this girl.
I know, it's like getting your name out there is one thing, and then actually, like, proving that you deserve to be here
exactly.
is another.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a really hard process that a lot of people go through, but I would also love to just go internationally, and so that's where that agent comes in and starts working with clubs that are in whatever country you want to go to and signing contracts and stuff like that.
Wow, that is so cool. My gosh. Mm-hmm. When will that typically end up happening?
So I have 2 years left of eligibility.
Okay.
Two more seasons. So the biggest focus for me is
the 2 summers, so getting on those teams, and then that last season, making sure, A, that I do really well in those seasons and play well, mm-hmm. and then sending that film out and getting more in contact with the different coaches of those clubs, and so that they can, you know, obviously be on their list of who they want to draft when they get their picks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So only 33. And mm-hmm. do most of them come from college? Because you were saying that a girl you knew got drafted from her club team.
Yeah, so they usually do, like, oftentimes from college. So she was lined up to go to Washington State.
Okay.
And chose not to go and then just entered the draft.
Okay.
But, so she's a big name. Like, her dad is Dennis Rodman. Like, yeah. So she's, like, she's pretty known and, like, okay. she's just, like, a pure athlete. Mm-hmm. So it's usually coming out of college. Like, I have a friend.
It's very rare if it's out of
club. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Okay. I have a friend whose sister went to Arizona and then USC, got mm-hmm. drafted to Orlando Pride, which is a great team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, mostly out of college.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a specific team that you would want to go to?
Or
do you have a favorite just in general?
I've always liked the North Carolina Courage.
Okay.
They've always had some good players, and I just love watching them play. But if I ever even had the opportunity to play at any of them, I would be so...
Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm totally fangirl, too, over, like, the players that I love, like Megan Rapinoe or whoever they play for. A girl my freshman year that was a senior, Ramey Shirley, she was one of the best, like, players we've ever had. She went and she did... that a little bit, like, went and played with the Utah Royals when they were still a club, and she got to play with, like, the big names, and she was just telling me about it and geeked out, and it's really cool to hear about.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so awesome. What would both of you consider to be, like, your biggest achievement or accomplishment at Boise State so far?
As, like, a team, my freshman year when we won the Mountain West Championship and got mm-hmm. to go to the NCAA tournament, that was, like, just a really cool moment. I've dreamed of being in that tournament, like, since I was really young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Individually, I think just, like, me being more of, like, an offensive presence this past season, I had, like, the highest shot total, I believe, and then the second highest goals. So that was, like, the big emphasis for me this year was to improve that number and get my stats up. And I was able to score in that Mountain West championship final to get our team back in it. So mm-hmm. I think that overall, like, individually was mine.
Yeah, I think for a team, for me, it was definitely, like, the comeback season this year, like, being able to get to, like, the championships. And then individually, it was kind of crazy being a freshman and even, like, a sophomore being able to split time with Sydney, who set all the records. So, like, her as a, like, as a sophomore, she set every record that is on the record book.
That is crazy. Wow.
And then I came as a freshman, and then me and her split time her junior year. And then we split time her senior year as well. So that's, like, a pretty big deal for our position, like, because usually you have one and that's it. Like, you just don't really consider having a second person.
Yeah.
So us splitting time was kind of crazy.
Wow, that's really exciting. That's for so the cool. NCAA tournament, how'd you guys do?
So we went and we played BYU. The way that it works is not always the best, the way that they pair you up. Because it's not always necessarily, like, this team should play this team. But because BYU, location-wise, was close to us, they put it with us. And they're a top school. They went to they went to the championship, like, the national championship this year.
Oh my gosh.
So they were a very tough competitor, and we lost in that first round, which was obviously very disappointing, but we were, like, really proud of the way that we handled it. That was our first trip to the NCAA tournament.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it was, and it was, like, an experience that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And BYU, they had, I think they had, like, 5,000 people in their stadium.
Oh, yes, of course.
And it was just, like, a really cool environment to play under. But, yeah, that was our first time, and it was an experience for sure.
I mean, the fact that you even got to go, like, during, like, your time on the team is so cool.
Yeah, and that's definitely written on our board. That's our goal for next season. That's, you know, and we don't want to just make it to the tournament and make it to the first round. We want to, like, go deep in the tournament, and we think that we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
of these goals that you keep referring to, do you guys create these at, like, the beginning of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do a lot of mind mapping, and we sit down as a team a lot, and we just kind of discuss everything that we want to do. Like, and then as the season goes on, like, you'll kind of see that you start accomplishing these goals because they're all similar. We all want the same things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's big on goal setting, but also, like, he always says tangible action. Yes. So it's not like, yeah, oh, I want to win. It's like, okay, we're going to win this many games. We're going to score this many goals, so that it's actually, like, a tangible thing that you feel like you can achieve. Or
that's really cool.
Yeah. It definitely creates, like, a good mindset for everybody to go into the season.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so cool. I've had interviews with your coach before, and I feel like he's big on you guys doing well, but he's also big on, like, personal development. So yes. How have you guys, like, developed as a person, all while developing as a player, while working and playing for him?
I think our team, like, as, like, with our morals and what our coaches have set as standards, sets, like, a really good platform for us to grow as people. Mm-hmm. Just for me, as I've been here, I've become a lot more gracious in the way that, like, I'm really appreciative of, like, what we are given and everything like that. And I'm, like, it's nice to be able to even be here.
Yeah.
So they just, like, kind of remind us that, like, you're lucky and, like while we're here for you, like, and we will be there for you no matter what, this is what you've been given and, like, what you, like, we want to see what you're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has these, like, pillars that we mm-hmm. actually work on in the off season that are kind of, like, create the culture of Boise State soccer. So right now we're working in humility and action. So just being, like, using our position in the community to better the community. So we do a lot of, like, community service work. And so it really is more than just being a college athlete. He's not about just grinding and, like, yeah. running to the ground and lifting and whatnot. He wants yeah. to develop better people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he does that through his culture, but also through all the work that we do. And we do a lot of gratitude work. I mean, I was just working on my gratitude mind map that we all had to make. Yeah. It's like yeah. we get little homework assignments, which I feel like a lot of coaches don't bother to do, but they actually make you better people and ultimately make the team better.
Yeah. That is
better
so
chemistry.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. I love that you guys do that. Do you start, in terms of, like, the routine of it, do you guys start every practice doing it? Is there one day a week that's designated towards this, or how does that work?
So it's kind of just, like, we go through the week and, like, you'll get certain emails. We'll have certain meetings that are based around this. Like, we just read a book. It was called The Energy Bus, and it's basically just based off of, like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. a positive energy and, like,
John, is it John Gordon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I've read another one of his books. So good.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And so we recently just had, like, a little discussion on that, and it's interesting to see how the book, like, how it resonated with each person.
Yeah.
And so we each talk about how, like, our lives are different, but it kind of all, like, circles back to the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have, like, maybe weekly meetings.
Yeah.
Like, called, like, Humility in Action Meeting, and we had, like, a book talk about, we had to all, like, annotate our book and kind of bring something that, like, resonated with us and how we would actually, like, apply that to our team atmosphere to make our team better. So when we move into, like, new pillars, I think the next one is toughness and tolerance.
Toughness, yeah.
So that kind of talks about, like, through all the adversity that we go through as college athletes, or, like, how you use that, how you use the feedback, how you use the critiques and criticism that you're receiving to make you better, or does it just, like, dwindle you? So we'll have, like, weekly meetings, and they're actually pretty beneficial, I feel like, just to have, like, an open discussion. He's very open. We mind map so much. He's always just, like, doodling on the board. Like, whatever we just say, he'll just write it on the board. And so, yeah.
Wow, I'm, like, so impressed right now. I'm, like, sitting here, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I like it, too, because I feel like all of these little, like, things that he's kind of contributing to the team, it mm-hmm. almost makes you more motivated and want to put in more.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. As a team, you spend a lot of time together.
Yes.
Like, trust me, we know. Like, you spend a lot of time together mm-hmm. as a team, and I feel like having all of these little things where you're almost building yourself as a person but also building up as a team, you just, like, want to put in even more.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah.
Exactly.
And me and Genevieve, we have, like, a leadership group. There's three of us on the team. He calls it the information highway. So he'll tell, like, the leadership group, and then we'll kind of disperse it down to the team. And so we're both on it. And I think that that just, like, motivates us because, like, we care so much about this team, and we put so much, like, we have extra, like, separate leadership group meetings with just Jim, where we just talk about, like, what's going on with the team, how he can be a better coach for us, like, what we need. And so I think at this point we're so invested in it that we just, like, we want to get as much out of it as we can.
Yeah. He puts so much trust into, like, our team and us. Like, he handpicked us three to be the leadership group.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so I think just him know, like, knowing that he has this much trust in us and, like, mm-hmm. he's relying on us so much. I'm like, okay, like, I need to, okay, I need to step up.
He likes it, right? Yeah. Who's the third person?
Jocelyn Stevens.
Okay.
Okay.
One of the center backs, number two.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's congratulations.
So cool. Oh, thank you.
That's yeah, huge. That's awesome. Huge accomplishment. I love that. You guys, soccer's very physically demanding.
Yes.
Yeah, very physically demanding. Yes. And we've kind of touched on like the mental aspect of it and mental health and everything, but also like the physical health of all of it. Mm-hmm. Injuries are very prone. You guys are very tough.
Yeah.
How does all of that contribute to still being able to still play and really recovering your body from all of that?
For me, I've played 3 seasons, so I'm going into my senior year. And freshman year, you know, you're just kind of learning the ropes and you don't really realize how physically demanding college, like the difference between high school and college is, because playing 2 games on a weekend can just be draining. So I learned that the biggest thing for me is like the way that I recover. If I'm like very adamant and active in my recovery, I notice like such a big difference. And so I was in the training room all the time last season, like before practices, before games, just doing everything I can to get my body in the right mode to be able to last. And, you know, playing in the midfield, we wear these like trackers, GPS trackers. I'll run like 8 or 9 miles a game.
It's crazy. Wow.
And you don't think that like you actually run that, and then you take the tracker off and you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
and so it's like, how are you gonna, after you put your body through that, how you recover will determine if you're gonna play well in the next game. And so that's my biggest thing, has been recovery.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of different because game to game, like, I might not do much. And, like, it really just depends on how it goes. For me, it's, like, there's certain trainings that they won't be doing as much. Like, if it's a lot of, like, shooting and finishing for them, though, and, like, it's really easy for
them. That's easy for us.
It, like, absolutely kills me. Like,
yeah.
So while, like, recovery is really important for me, just because, like, my body, like, I hit the ground so hard, like, I have to, like, stretch and kind of, like, rejuvenate, like, really well. Or, like, if I go into the next practice, like, I will not be moving very well.
No, seriously.
So it's just, like, honestly, for me, it's, like, a good warm-up. And then just making sure, like, I do, like, extra stretching. Like, if I'm at home, like, make sure I, like, recover and stretch and just, like, heal my body kind of.
And, like, take care of our bodies.
Yeah.
Like, make sure we're eating and sleeping. Hydration is, like, a huge thing. Because I'll lose so much, like, water during a game and sweat. And so
I mean, if you're running 8 to 9 miles,
you're probably a little bit. You'll lose a couple pounds in water weight, but... Yeah,
that's so crazy. I know. And as like a goalie, you're literally like launching yourself to like fall as hard as you can.
Yeah, sometimes hit the ground. Everyone's like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, it feels
you're
fine.
Like, I'm used to it.
Like, I don't know how she like if I'll like go down on the ground and slide tackle, like it takes me a good like 5 minutes to get back up. I'm like, I don't want to do it.
Really quick.
Like, I don't want to do that again. And she's just up, down,
oh,
especially in
gosh.
Those shooting drills. She takes a beating. Yeah.
There's sometimes I'll get hit by a ball and I'm like, just give me a second. I just need some time. When we go outside, so like right now we're training in the indoor.
Okay.
And then we'll transition outside in like a month or so. It's still like 28 degrees in the morning.
Oh, it's so cold.
And
out
we
there.
Like to start with shooting drills.
Of course.
Oh, jeez.
So sometimes I just get pelted. I'm like, hold on. This is really painful. I need a second.
Yeah. No, that hurts.
Yeah.
That like cold air and
cold
that like.
Cold air on bare skin and your legs are cold if you get
and
hit by a ball.
And the cold grass, too.
Oh, it is.
Your
guys' solid.
Field is grass,
yes.
Not turf.
Yeah.
Okay. It just gets really like hard. Like,
yeah.
It's still kind
when
of frozen
it's that
over.
Cold,
yeah.
And it's still a little frozen.
Yeah.
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 I'm like, couldn't be me.
Not that early.
That is so crazy.
So obviously, like, soccer takes up a majority of your time. What's something that you each do, like, for fun or in your free time or just to, like, maybe get away from soccer for a little bit?
Mine is kind of weird. I love baking.
That is so cute.
I will bake all the time. That's like my little like thing, and I love like bringing it to the team. Like I'll bring in cookies all the time to the locker room and just be like, take your pick. So that's kind of my thing, and like I just bake all the time. That's my one like hobby that I don't.
Is there something specific that's your favorite?
The pumpkin cake. Everybody
good.
Loves the pumpkin cake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I make this pumpkin cake with cream cheese frosting and
That sounds so good.
Everybody loves it. It's a fan favorite for sure.
Mine's kind of bad. I shop a lot.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I
feel that.
Like when I have time, I'm like, let me go shopping. I'm like, I need new clothes. What am I gonna wear?
Obviously.
But if I don't, like, I have been really into reading lately, which is kind of random.
That's cool.
But yeah, a lot of shopping. Not
she does lie. Shop a lot. Yeah, I can second that one.
My closet. Everyone's like, hey, can I come over and grab something? Like, yeah, go for it.
Totally. That's I'll go buy so something funny. Else in your place.
Exactly.
What kind of reading do you like to do?
It sounds kind of funny, but I read like a lot of like little self-help books.
Cute.
Yeah. Like they're I read like Atomic Habits.
Yes, I'm reading that right now.
Yeah.
It's really
is
good.
Is that
it's
good?
Really
good? I want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've
and
read
then
that as
that's
well,
on my
yeah.
list. Let the World See You. It's by a former NFL football player.
Mm. Oh, cool.
And he just talks about like his life and like how walking through faith like helped him and like becoming himself and like showing his true self. And then currently like I've been picking through this one book called Untamed for a while.
Oh,
like,
I've heard of that.
Like, yeah. So it's actually Abby Wambach's wife.
Oh, wow.
And she talks about how, like, she was previously married and, like, suffered through, like, depression, like, alcoholism, yeah. and, like, how she's kind of just come into herself and, like,
that's
let
cool.
her life be, like, the way it was. But now she's kind of just living it to the fullest and being herself, and it's kind of just paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
That's wow. so cool.
That's yeah. really cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so
yeah,
much
thank
for coming.
You.
Oh, thanks
so
for having
for
us.
Having
this was
so fun.
Fun.
I think this is my new favorite episode.
Yeah.
I was thinking
so
about
too.
It during it.
Oh, that's so
no, this is
I was
so
like,
fun.
This is my,
no.
I like
you
this
guys
one.
Are awesome. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So
this
much
is so
fun.
Fun.
No, it was so
yeah.
much fun.
I'm glad you guys had fun. That's always good to hear.
Mm-hmm. We but. Appreciate it. Well, next time, listen,
yeah.
we have a really exciting episode for our next episode.
We do.
We're not telling you who it is yet, but
you'll
it's
find
so
out
exciting.
Eventually. But yep. we're really excited about this one.
Oh, yeah. And this one that we just recorded, obviously.
Yes.
But thanks so much for listening, and
we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on Hold the Mic. Be sure to follow our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook accounts at Hold the Mic Podcast.